to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And verse 15. Verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said, I will go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." Yeah, I want you to see three or four things out of this passage of Scripture that that we ought to... it's not anything that you don't know. It's just something that may be a different way to look at it, you know, a different perspective of it. Sometimes we look at that thing and we see that. And you notice in the last verse it says, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise, let us go hence." And obviously he's talking about going to Calvary's cross, is he not? He's talking about doing the work that his Father sent him to do, and all the things that he accomplished and were done in obedience to the will of the Father. And you know, when Jesus said, "My Father is greater than I," he's not saying that he's not equal to the Father. He's saying he submitted himself to the Father. All right? Now, obviously, God is greater. Jesus is greater than us and everything like that. But the simple fact is, he tells us that the world may know that what? I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. So, part of the work that Christ came to do was not just redemption for us, his love toward us. It was his love for his Father. It was as much that as anything else. And notice where we start this out. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And he says, in another place, he says that in verse 21, he says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. All right. Verse 23, he said, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Right? And then he says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So when we look at the at the scripture, Jesus is simply asking us to do what he himself has already done. He's asking us to accomplish something. You know, so many times we get into jobs and we get things that we have to do, and we get mad. I was talking to my brother-in-law, and he was talking about this fella that asked him for help, right? Asked him for help, and he went over, and he said, I want to be a good neighbor, and he went over to talk to him, and he wanted to find out what they had to do, and they had to level a shed or something because it was leaning and sinking down the ground and everything like that, and they had to do some work on it. And So he said, you know, I'd do that, but I don't have the tools and everything. So Gary went over and he took all the tools to him and everything like that, and nothing ever got done. He said, well, he asked him, he said, are you going to be able to use those tools? He said, well, you know, I really need somebody to help me. He said, this is not something that I really know how to do. I don't know if I can do it by myself. And what it ended up doing, my brother-in-law ended up doing the work, and the guy just sitting there doing nothing. And he said, I'm not going to help him anymore. I'm not going to do anything for him. Why? Because he wasn't hitting a lick. Or you have a boss and everything. Everybody's had the boss that wanted to be over everything but didn't know anything about the work that they were supposed to be over, right? If you've ever been in a construction trade, you find somebody who gets up there and they become a foreman, you know, somebody's nephew or cousin or something like that, and they really don't have the experience and they don't know anything. Or you've been in a crew with somebody who brags about everything they know but won't hit a lick, right? And it breeds resentment. And sometimes I think people resent the command to be obedient to God. But he's already gone through there. Matter of fact, it's because he was obedient that we can be obedient. Something to think about. You know, when we start wondering whether or not we can obey, we might want to take a look at Jesus and say, you know what? He was obedient so I could be obedient. Think about that. So when we look at that, and then the second thing I want you to see is, it's kind of an amazing thing what he talks about. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In verse 16, he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You know, I don't understand people that say that you can lose your salvation. And he says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Alright, you know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is able to save them to the uttermost who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for. So I've got Christ interceding, I have the Spirit of God within me. Not on the outside, not just influencing me from the outside like he does the world, but in me. And he says he will abide with me for how long? Forever. And like you know, Ephesians 4:30 witnesses to that. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. So there's that understanding and that one thing, you know, I don't know about you, but that keeps me going. That is the thing that when I personally fail in some way, that is the thing that puts me on my knees to say, Father, forgive me, and want to get up and start walking the right direction. Why? Because I know that He hasn't forsaken me. It's not over for me. I've got the ability, even though I fail, I've got 1 John 1:9, 1 John 2:2, and all these verses and many other verses about that. The book of Hebrews about coming boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace and to help in time of need. I've got all of that. And it's that, because the Spirit of God abides in me and will stay with me always, that surety of my salvation, that's what gets me up. And that's the way it should do. It should get you up. It's a sad thing when you have people who claim that they lose their salvation and now they have to get saved all over again. Now, a lot of them, they just give up. But why in the world would anybody who believes in eternal security just give up? Make any sense? Sometimes we don't see things and think in the right way. And then thirdly, I want you to see something that he says. He says here in verse 20. I tell you what, let me go back. Let me just start over and I'll get to where I want to go. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. In other words, it wasn't Judas Iscariot, it was the other Judas among his disciples. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How is it? He's thinking on terms of seeing with your eyes. And he says, Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. All right? He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's. Which sent me, and he said, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. So we have that picture there, and you've heard me many times use that. Go through this chapter talking about what is the work of the Holy Ghost, what is the purpose, what is his job, if you will, what does the Holy Ghost do? And we see that in there. But part of that dwelling in us, through the Spirit, you know, many times you'll see things like the Spirit of the Father or the Spirit of Christ. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God. And it's through him that Jesus manifests himself. It's through him that we are able to see. You know, we ought to be the ones to be able to look and see the hand of God and the work of God, not only in our own life, but around the world and in others. We ought to be able to see that. And I've talked about yielding to the Spirit, but we should be able to see. We're supposed to be alert, awake, sober. All of these things. And we ought to be able to see. There ought to be times where God's work is can be seen by you. You know in your heart that this is what God is doing. You know that this is what God wants me to do. And I'm not talking just about being called to preach or called to missions or whatever. I'm talking about in your daily life. There ought to be a time where you know what God wants you to do. You know, Sister Denise got some opportunities to witness. And she was with my sister-in-law. She was witnessing one fella. And my sister-in-law her brother's sister got to sit there with her and listen to her witness. This guy, the guy happened to be a Jew, and she witnessed to him for a long time. Shared a lot of scriptures with him and everything like that. You know, and she asked. She asked Denise a question. She said, "How did you know you were supposed to talk to him?" How did you know you were supposed to talk to him? All these people here, how did you know you were supposed to talk to him? And the guy listened. You know, first of all, he was joking it off, then it got really serious. And she shared him a lot of things. He was like, you know, she gave him a gospel tract. He promised to read it. And you know, she talked about Jesus being the Passover and everything like that. He said, "I've never heard any of that before." And so she got to talk to him. It was really serious. And it was an amazing thing when you know, and the fellow's name is Omri, by the way, so remember to pray for him. Pray that he'll get saved. It was a wonderful thing. But she asked, "How do you know?" And that's a double-edged sword, just like the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Sometimes it's a double-edged sword. Well, how do I know I'm supposed to talk to people? Well, first off, I have a command to tell everybody, don't I? I have a command to tell everybody. I have it clear in the Word of God. All right? "Go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you," right? So we have clear things. "Go ye therefore, preach the gospel to every creature." All right? So we have that command. But there are also times where just you're sitting there and the thought comes, "Tell this person." Excuse me. Give him a gospel tract. It's just that simple. It's just like a knowing, an urgency in your heart where you say, "I have to do this. This is something God wants me to do." And it's not just that. That's just one example. It could be any of 100 things. I need to stop this. I need to do this. Start that. I need to put this aside. I could go down the list of things that it is as you may find and may be impressed upon your heart. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But did you know that's also fellowship with the Father and the Son? That's proof that they're there. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Sometimes we just don't see things the way we're meant to see them. We get caught up on one side. You know, everything is you know, one-sided. You know, it's kind of comical when the director of the NIH, who they're all fawning over and everything, now he's in a lot more hot water, the Fauci fella and everything. One time, you know, it seems like he'll come out and one time he'll say one thing and another time he says another thing. And, you know, first of all, you don't need a mask. Now everybody has to have a mask. Well, you only need a mask for a few months, but now we're going to need them forever. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on. People, it's kind of comical. Somebody put up a picture of him wearing two masks. And they said, why is he wearing two masks? And I said, well, probably so he can speak out of both sides of his mouth. I don't know. But the bottom line is, you know, the bottom line is that is the way a lot of time error is brought in. That's what a lot of the politicians do. You only look at something from one side. You only hear one side of the story. And we have the command of the Word of God, but we also have the work of the Holy Ghost, don't we? We have the Comforter that dwells in us forever. And we need both. We need both. Because there's God's will, and then there's God's will for you. There's God's will, Him declaring what He wants us to do, everybody to do, and then there's God's will for you individually. Some things to think about this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now, Father, again, we do thank You for all Your love and kindness and mercy. We thank You for providing for our needs as You have so many times, time and again, to the point we just take it for granted. And Lord, oftentimes we also take for granted the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And Lord, help us to just be sensitive, to be able to hear and above all, obey. Lord, bless the remainder of our services today. And Lord, we just pray You'd use the Word of God in each person's heart that hears this. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.